Good morning. My name is Ed Holohan, and this is The View From Here. I was recently sent a note from a dear old friend remarking on the opinion of a fundamentalist commentator who was loudly reiterating the fact that the Bible, Leviticus 18:22 specifically, prohibits homosexual relations, calling the practice an abomination. Well, strong words indeed. So strong, in fact, that they got me to examining other practices about which the Bible has very clear teachings. Leviticus 25:44 says that I can own slaves as long as they're from neighboring nations. Now, I already have my eye on some Mexicans and Canadians, but I'm wondering if the Bible prohibits me from buying a slave from Finland. I've always wanted a Finn. Speaking of slaves, we have decided to sell our daughter and her daughter into slavery. You see, Exodus 21:7 says that we can. I'm wondering, is there a biblical blue book to help with determining their value, like Carfax, except for humans? I don't want to get cheated. Well, nor do I want to overcharge a fellow believer. I just found out that burning a bull on the altar of sacrifice makes a smell pleasing to the Lord. This one makes sense to any carnivore. Just go to a decent steakhouse and you'll get the idea. I do need to know what Leviticus says about steak sauce. Radio, being as demanding as it is, means that I occasionally have to work on the Sabbath. Exodus 35:2 states in no uncertain terms that I should be killed for that sin. Now I wonder if I'm allowed to kill myself. The Bible prohibits murder, and suicide is murdering yourself, so I guess I'll call the sheriff's office and see if they will do the job. I wonder what they charge for a biblical execution. I hope it's not stoning. I hate stonings. Leviticus 21:20 says, I may not approach the altar of God if I have a defect in my sight. I'm scheduled for cataract surgery next month, and I will still wear bifocals after that procedure. Does this mean I have zero chance of approaching the altar of God? Well, how about a side altar like St. Joseph? I have noticed that many professional football players wear gloves during a game. I always thought it was to improve their grip on the ball. Now I know better. Leviticus 11:6-8 says that touching the skin of a dead pig, that is to say a pig skin, which is to say a football, would make the player unclean. I know almost all of them shower after a game, but I can see that wearing gloves in the first place avoids any chance of committing that sin. Wouldn't you know it? I just got a haircut, and then I read Leviticus 19:27, which prohibits trimming one's beard and the hair around my temples. Upon further research, I learned that this practice was not so much a moral imperative as a way of distinguishing one nation from all the others. Would it be okay if I just wear a big scarlet letter on my jacket? It seems to me that justifying anything by quoting scripture, any scripture, is a very slippery slope. The originals were written centuries ago by people who had as many axes to grind as a modern political pundit does. Claiming that you were taking dictation from God was as flawed 30 centuries ago as it was when Joseph Smith claimed divine inspiration 2 centuries ago. My goodness, even our president has taken, occasionally, to claiming that he is an instrument of God. On the other hand, according to Scripture, fire and brimstone, plagues and angels of death were also instruments of God. So who knows? The point is, we take our justifications where we find them, and we find them wherever those justifications reinforce our own beliefs and foibles. What's your cup of tea? Homophobia? Racism? Misogyny? There's a Scripture out there somewhere just for you. Be my guest. Just Google scriptural justification for, you insert the name of your prejudice here, and you will find it. The so-called Word of God was written by people. People who were just as foolish and misguided as you and I are.